Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. ADCDC on this Friday the 13th in the year of our Lord 2012. It's truly a blessing to be on the air one more time. We're in the studio tonight, and we got Rev B is going to be checking in periodically. He's teaching a class tonight, but this is yours truly, Pastor C, and we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in, and thank you for being so faithful to tuning in week after week to Pastors Aid CDC. And we got another good topic tonight. We're going to try to get some folks connected to the resource of dealing with a situation that is prevalent and a lot of people say is epidemic in the African-American community, and that is dealing with HIV AIDS. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight, and just trying to get a vibe of the people in our community. That's facing people that make up roughly 14% of the country or the United States of America, but the incidence of HIV and AIDS is prominent in their community. And so we want to talk about that. So if that's something that you want to chime in on or you're interested in speaking about, you can reach us always at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. And also you can follow us on Twitter, and that's PACDC316. It's PACDC316. Also, you can give us some information on Facebook, and that's Pastors Aid, PASTORSAID, Pastors Aid, and we'd be glad to hear from you. Again, we always thank everyone that continues to support us, continues to dial in, continues to check out the archive calls, and we're just overwhelmed by the support and the love that everyone has shown and is continuing to show. And so we're just going to continue to trust God that he would continue to allow us to be a valuable resource to our community. And again, we are talking tonight, and we'll probably have to talk about tonight and on Sunday evening about what is going on in the African-American community in the area of how this small minority population is continuing to be the majority in the infection or being infected by HIV and also leading to AIDS. It is a sobering thing to see that this virus has been so prevalent in the African-American community, and for the most part, it's sort of like taboo for African-Americans to really talk about it. It gets its play a couple of times during the year, but it seems like it hasn't gotten the play or the airtime or the seriousness that it really needs in order to deal with epidemic proportions. It seems like when you are dealing with things that have an epidemic, that you would think more people would stand up and more people would pay attention and get involved, and that they would address the behavior that is causing this to continue to spread in the African American community. One of the things that we really get involved with during the year is during flu season. What people do is they take these precautions to go get shots and inoculated with the flu shot, and they also take great caution with hand sanitizers and covering their mouths and covering your face when you sneeze and washing your hands frequently and getting the proper rest so that you won't be able to suffer as much during flu season. And that's a big thing that goes on every year. But it seems as if when it comes to the HIV AIDS epidemic in the African-American community, that we don't take that virus as serious as we take the flu virus. And the flu virus, for the most part, you'll be feel pretty bad, pretty sick for about a week, and then you can recover and go on about your business. But the HIV AIDS virus is something that will stay with you for the rest of your life until they come out with a cure for the disease. Now, one of the things that we were looking at today is the recent Jet magazine, and we were looking at this Jet magazine. We were looking at the volume. Let me see what the date of this is. This is the dated July 9th, 2012. So it's relatively new, a piece of material or publication. But in this publication, there is a drug that is being touted out in the drug name is trying to pronounce this correctly, but the drug is being touted as a pill that will allow people to have unprotected sex, and that it would reduce the risk of infection by as much as 63%. And so people were looking at that and they were saying, wow, this helps to reduce the infection rate. But 63%, that leaves another 37% that you would possibly get this HIV virus if you continue to have unprotected sex. RUVADA, but it says 63% against people contracting the HIV virus with unprotected sex. And so the article talks about how people want to not expose themselves to the risk, but at the same time they're willing to take that risk of 37% so they can have unprotected sex. And so it's really something that we need to talk about in our community, about are we willing to take that risk for 37 37% so that we can have unprotected sex. And so that threw a bright light out to me, and I'm sure some other people. But the pill is being delayed. It's going through the Drug and Administration, who have pushed the ruling on it back about 3 months. And it created, according to the article, a firestorm over whether patients will adhere to a strict pill-a-day regimen. So in other words, in order for this pill to be effective, it has to be taken every day. And so it's a problem that we need to address. Is number one, are we willing to take that percentage, that 37% risk of, even if I'm taking the pill, Truvada, will that risk be worth me having unprotected sex? And you know, you get to the point where you say, well, let's take it to another serious level. That if 37%, that means that I have a 37% of catching something that's going to kill me. Or you can take it to the area of, if someone said that if you falling out of the sky and killing, and I would surmise, you guys let me know, that not too many people would take that chance. But when it comes to sex and this sexually transmitted disease, that it seems that if the African-American community is willing to take that risk over and over again, even with this new drug, they're willing to take a 37% chance that if we just don't feel like having protected sex or using a condom or avoiding types of relationships where you're getting involved in sex, that we're willing to take that chance. So that's what we're talking about tonight. We're going to look at some numbers from the age.gov website. We're going to look at some of the numbers. But in this article, it talks about 1.2 million Americans are affected by HIV. And we're going to talk about what exactly is HIV in a little bit. But it says 1.2 Americans are affected by HIV. Again, this is the article in the Jet magazine dated July 9th. 2012, with Janet Jackson's face on there, and she's talking about the secret of her sexiness. I think maybe this anti-HIV pill that should be on the front cover, telling us about the possible risk of sexiness. But in this article, it talks about 1.2 Americans are infected with HIV, and then it says half of them are Black. I'm going to take a pause right there. What that says is that of all the Americans in the United States of America, and this is where the African-American community needs to pause and wake up and smell the coffee, drink the coffee, and everything else. But it says half of them, in other words, 560,000 of the cases that are in the United States are African American. Now, if we only make up 14% of the population, check that out. How in the world are we able to look at this thing and say it's not a big deal? How are we able to soberly continue to pretend like this is not affecting us by looking away and ignoring the 800-pound, or as Rev B said, two 800-pound elephants or gorillas in the room. At some point, we have to see that half of the people that are contracting this or have this are African Americans, and so that would give us pause to say, you know, this is an epidemic that eventually, if we continue at this rate, will wipe out our race. Pause right there. wipe out our race, because at this point, 1 in 5 Americans have this disease, and half of them are African American. And the other sobering statistic is that the new cases that are coming up, two-thirds of those are African-American women. But this disease is viruses affecting our community in such a devastating way. Why aren't we screaming to the top of the trees and having a clarion voice that is warning and telling our people, you know, that this is something that we need to take seriously, because it's as serious as life. And matter of fact, it stands between life and death, this issue. And so that we're addressing tonight. And so if you desire, you can call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. It's a real heavy topic that we're talking about, something that we need to talk about and continue to talk about, because it is really devastating our community. 14% of the people in the United States are African American, and half of the cases of HIV are held by the African American community. So we need to talk about. We need to talk about, you know, will this new drug, Truvada, will this slow it down? You know, will it cause people to have more risky behavior? Will people take this pill every day? Will this cause people to say, hey, I'm willing to take that 63% chance I'm not going to get infected? And, you know, when you look at it that way, it's like, you know, we're rolling the dice with our lives. We're rolling the dice with our lives, of our loved ones, with our family and that love us and care about us, but it doesn't seem as if we love and care about ourselves enough to really protect yourself. And even if you are believe you're protecting yourself and doing things right, that whenever you get into a relationship, are you one of the first things that you need to say is have you been tested? Have you been tested for the HIV virus? That's one of the things when I do premarital counseling, is I ask the couples, are they prepared to go and take a HIV test to determine what the status of their partner is? And when you begin to start asking those questions, those are serious questions that you would want to go into a relationship knowing that this is something that can ease your mind, that can allow you to be upfront with your partner, because there's too many cases, I believe, in our community where people are living on the DL or on the down low, where this is not being discussed, where people are taking other people's lives in their hands and knowing that they're infected or knowing they might be infected and not telling their new partners or their husbands and wives. There was a show out this week on the news where a deacon in a church infected his wife, and he knew a year before he married his wife that he was infected, and that she actually found out about it when she saw the test results fall out of his Bible. Check that out. And now she's living with HIV because of her husband's refusal or ignorance or embarrassment to tell her about this. And so that's what we got to get to the cause of why, you know, we want to talk about the cause of why so many in the African American community are not. It's a white male virus, and that, you know, blacks are not. It's a white male gay virus, and black males and people are have this stigmatism that, you know, that's not who I am, and there's a stereotype that I have to live up to is I'm a strong, virile black man, that, you know, I don't mess with other men, and and I don't track diseases. But the facts are, and the statistics are, is that yes, we do. Yes, we do. Male with male sex, then they dabble with bisexual where they were male and female. And so that's why the prevalence is so high, and that's why they're spreading it so fast to the African-American female, is because she is only the person that is looking for a male, but the male race is dwindling. They're either sick or they're in jail or they're really struggling, and so there's few to select from, and so these males that go bisexual get into their lives and infect them, and you know it becomes a traumatic epidemic in that in our community. And so we need to try to say, hey, why are we getting into this? Why are we not talking about it? Why are we not having this on the front page of the Jet magazine instead of the 12th page? Why isn't this plastered everywhere? When it was prominently a gay white male disease, they really got involved and really got this out there. And so pretty much it is leveled off in their community, but it has skyrocketed in the community of the African-American race. And so it's something that we need to talk about and need to say, hey, why are we not talking about it? Why aren't we putting it on the front page? And why aren't we telling people, you know, what it really is and how it is contracted and the things that you need to do or stop doing so you will stop spreading it? And to look at, are we as a community killing ourselves off? Where, you know, in the time of slavery in America, other people were killing us off, but it seems like now we're killing ourselves off not only just with weapons and knives and guns and our tongues, but it also deals with sexuality, that we're participating in risky, promiscuous behavior. And then some people that aren't people are not participating in these behaviors were people that have contracted or have not gotten tested or don't know they have it are continuing to develop relationships, and that's how it begins to spread. So we want to get your opinion on it. Again, you can call us at 347-324-5569. I know this is a touchy subject in the African American community. I know Rev B will say I'm just going to go there, but we're going to read you some statistics in a second about what this thing is, HIV, and we want to reference the website AIDS.gov, and the question is how did this get started? And if you go to that website, it says that it's believed that it started in West Africa, where humans ate chimpanzees that had the virus. And what happens is once that virus enters one's blood cells, it attacks your T cells. And then once it attacks your T cells, it makes copies of itself. And then what that does, when your T cells are destroyed, what happens is you no longer can fight off disease. And herein, what happens is in the HIV turns to AIDS, and to give a breakdown of what goes on in the human body, it says that this particular virus can only infect human beings. So this is a human being virus, a virus that can affect human beings, and what it does is it affects the immunodeficiency. It causes your immune system to become deficient and weakens your immune system. And it destroys important cells that help to fight disease and infection. And so you become A deficient or immune your immune system can't protect you. And so what it does is the things that are in your body with these T cells, they can no longer fight off infection. And what it does is it takes over your body and uses your body as a host. And it's called a human immunodeficiency, and that's the HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus. And you know, it's like other viruses, like the flu, but you can't get rid of it like the flu. And so you end up, after a period of time, it breaks down the immune system, and then what happens is then people acquire what is called AIDS, or acquired immunodeficiency syndrome, and then the person begins to start getting sick, having fatigue and all kind of different symptoms, and it begins to break down the physical body. And then other infections, they call them opportunistic infections. These are things that cancer and other type of things will begin to invade your body because your immune system is weakened or compromised because of the HIV virus. And so it's devastating to our community, and we need to become aware of it. We need to know what's going on with it, know how you get it, and you know how to avoid participating in activities that would cause you to come up with this HIV virus. And some of the ways that you can get it is through sexual contact, through pregnancy, breastfeeding, injection of drug use, you know, occupational exposure, blood transfusion, organ transplants, those type of things. You can contract the virus, and you have to be aware of these things all the time. Now, it's not like you can get it from somebody sweating or contacting someone, but it's found and it's passed on through body fluids how you become infected with HIV. And you have to understand body fluids like blood, semen, vaginal fluids, rectal mucus, things like that are the things that will allow you to come in contact with this virus, and you can contract this virus. And so whenever you're involved in any of those type of things, whether it's sexual activity, whether it's breastfeeding, childbirth, drug use, occupational exposure, blood transfusion. So if you're involved in any of those type of things, you are at risk of contracting this virus. And so those are the things that we need to get out into our community and let people know, hey, you know, this thing is serious. It's African Americans. 50% of the people that have it, we have it. You know, the people that are getting it most now are the young African American women, and it's just devastating to our society. And we need to be a clarion call out to our communities. Hey, this is for real. You know, this is what's killing us all. You know, we continue to go down this road, we're going to be less of a minority than what we already are. And, you know, we need to really just face the facts and look and say, hey, you know, are we going to continue to deal with this, or are we just going to stop? You know, are we going to stop? Are we going to stop being so promiscuous? Are we going to stop being so careless? Are we going to stop taking risks of okay, I'm going to take this drug, and 63% of the time I'm going to be good, but 37% of the time I'm not going to be good. You know, what are we doing with this thing? Are we really understanding that we have to get a hold of this thing? And, you know, it's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us to be able to come out and talk about it. I know it's not a popular subject, but we have to address this. We have to come out and say, hey, you know, everything that's going on in your life, you know, you got to talk about it. You got to need to talk about it with your partner. You need to talk about it with your husband, your wife. You need to talk about it with your kids. You need to talk about it. You need to say, hey, you know, this is something that's serious. You know, every time, you know, I come into a place where having sexual contact with someone. I'm my occupation. Dealing with any those type of things. I need to make sure that I'm taking the proper precautions to protect myself. And you know, when we begin to do that, it becomes like a conversation that we're not embarrassed to talk about it. So that's one of the questions I want to ask our listeners tonight. Why are we afraid, or are we afraid, or why won't we, or why are we embarrassed to talk about the disease or the epidemic that's affecting our community? Why is that? I want to give us a call. You can reach us at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569, and we can ask that question. Why do you believe that people are, or do you believe that people are embarrassed, or people are afraid to talk about this epidemic in our community? And we really need to make sure that we are talking about this on a regular basis. Whenever you get to the point where you want to fall in love with somebody, Lord have mercy, we fall in love. But there's nothing wrong with falling in love. When you fall in love and you get your emotions and your feelings involved, and you love that person and you don't want to hurt that person's feelings, or you don't want to, you know, do anything to break out what's good, you know, and you think that if I say something, you know, like, hey, are you tested? Hey, are you positive? Hey, what do you have? That's going to turn the person off. And then a lot of times guys say, girl, you know, I love you. You know, I wouldn't be with you if I had this. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. And you know, that conversation, you know, smooths over the concern. Then you go ahead and you have unprotected sex. And then later on you find that, you know, that person wasn't being truthful. That person may have known or may not have known. And here you are contracting the HIV virus. And it's devastating to your life and the life of your family. And, you know, we just got to be upfront with people. We just got to tell them, hey, you know, you might leave me, or you might not want to be with me, but I have to know. And you know, I want to go into this thing with my eyes wide open. Yes, I love you. Yes, I have feelings for you. But no, I don't want to get anything from you, or have you get anything from me that would cause me or you to lose our lives. And so that's how important this is. We're going to talk about it. I'm sure some folks are listening now, and then you might feel a little uncomfortable, but you know, it's better to feel uncomfortable and to be informed than be comfortable and be ignorant to the fact that something that's lurking out there can kill you, and you don't know that's what you're exposing yourself to. And so again, you can call us in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569, and you can hit us on Twitter at PACDC316. That's PACDC316. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. That's at Pastors Aid, PASTORSAID, Pastors Aid. And again, we thank everyone for all of your communication with us. We've been grateful for all of the listeners and all of the archive, people going back and listening to the shows, and all of the ones that are continuing to follow us on Twitter. All of these have been a blessing to us, and we're just grateful, and we're just trying to be a resource to our community to help people get the help that they needed. And, you know, we're probably going to be talking a little bit more about this on Sunday, talking about the various places where you can go and you can get tested, you can get help in case you do come up with a positive test, not only physically but mentally, spiritually. There's a whole ministry that's involved with dealing with people who have contracted the disease, and how to allow them to continue to know that people care and love them and have concern for them. So you know, it's something that's affecting our community, but we got to be able to deal with it at the grassroots. We got to be able to deal with it from the beginning and be able to deal with it, not only from the beginning, but all the way through the life of the person that may have it, that may not have it, or everyone knows or probably knows someone who's at risk or may have contracted it or who have died from something like that. And so we have to get in a position where we're continuing to minister. We're continuing to talk to people. We're continuing to keep this on the front page. We're not marginalizing this. We're continuing to cry loud and let people know, hey, there's something out there that's trying to kill you. There's something out there that if you contract it, it can eventually kill you. There's something out there that we need to be aware of, that we need to be conscious of. We need to treat it better than we treat the flu, or better than we treat, you know, our putting our seatbelts on in a car, to treat it better than, you know, when we get into an airplane and the risks we take. This is a risky business that we're taking part of, and we need to let people know what the risk is. We need to let people know that, you know, this thing is for real, the statistics are real, and we need to make sure that people understand that, you know, you can pretend like it's not there, but that doesn't change the fact that it's there. We're going to look at, again, this statistic from the age.gov website, and it says that 1 in 5 Americans are living with HIV and are unaware of the infection. And then it has a time clock next to it and says 9.5 minutes, every 9.5 minutes. I'm going to pause right there. Every 9.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. is infected with AIDS. Every 9.5 minutes. And so in this two-hour show, if you do the math, you'll see that, what is that, 90 minutes? In this two-hour show, every 10 minutes, you would by the end of this show, you would have 12 people that were infected by this disease. If you just use the nine, you would have 12 people infected by the end of our show. And so that is devastating. That's devastating to people that every 9 minutes, 9.5 minutes, someone is infected with HIV. And so, you know, we really, really need to talk about this thing. We really need to say, hey, this is what's going on. Let me give you some statistics from this government web bank. It says that by risk group, gay, bisexual, and other males having sex with males of all races remain the population most severely affected by HIV. And it says that they accounted for 61% of all new infections in the United States as of 2009, and nearly half of the people living with HIV in 2008, the most recent year data is available. And then it says that the CDC, Centers for Disease Prevention, estimates that men having sex with men account for just 2% of the U.S. male population age 13 and over, but account for more than 50% of all new HIV infections annually from 2006 to 2009. And in the year 2010, men having sex with men accounted for 61% of the HIV diagnosis. It also says in 2009, the white men having sex with men accounted for the largest number of annual new HIV infections of any group in the U.S. And then it says 11,400, followed closely behind by black men having sex with men at a rate of 10,800 infections a year. And then the last bullet point on this says young black men having sex with men were the only risk group in the U.S. to experience statistically an increase in new HIV infections from 2006 to 2009, and that increased from 4,400 new infections in 2006 to 6,500 new infections in 2009. And it's a sobering statistic that we really need to understand that you know when you look at this thing by race, it says among racial ethnic groups, African Americans face the most severe burden of HIV in the United States. I'm going to say that again. Among the racial ethnic groups, African Americans face the most severe burden of HIV in the United States. It says while blacks represent approximately 14% of the U.S. population, they accounted for almost half, or 40%, 46% of people living with HIV. They accounted for almost half of people living with HIV in the United States in 2008, as well as an estimated 44% of new infections in 2009. HIV infections among blacks overall have been roughly stable, however, since the early 1990s, but you're still at that percentage where it's disproportionately affecting the community of black males, and you really have to look at the rates that this thing is just devastating to the community, and it's really getting to a point where, you know, we have to just come out and just start talking about this on a regular basis and tell people, you know, this thing is for real. You can pretend like it doesn't exist. You can pretend like, you know, it's not going to affect me. But if you're African American in the United States, you are really in a position where this is a possibility of something that's going to happen to you. And so if you take a look at it like that, you would think that this would cause us to be more cautious, we will be more aware, that we would be more inclined to take the precautions not to get involved in this situation. But from what I'm hearing in churches, what I'm hearing on the job, what I'm hearing in the neighborhoods, it's something that we don't talk about. It's something that, you know, we'll talk about it every now and then, but it's something that doesn't stay on the front burner. And so that's what we want to do. We want to keep this thing on the front burner. Again, you can reach us at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're going to take a quick break, 2-minute break. We're going to come back and we'll try to get some people on the line. Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? Pastor's ACDC, yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio. Rev B. He's doing some teaching tonight, he's going to be checking in probably later on in the show. But we're talking tonight about the prevalence of HIV/AIDS in the African-American community. We've gone over some statistics, and we've talked about a new drug that has been advertised or written about in the latest Jet magazine called Truvada, that it gives 63% chance of people having unprotected sex from not contracting the HIV infection, but leaves 37% chance that you can contract it. It's a pill that you have to take every day. And so we're just talking about those risk factors and the difference of the disproportionate amount of infections in the African-American community, who only makes up 14% of the American population, but nearly half of the new infections and the people infected in this country are African-Americans, and how we need to really, really, really dig into making this a conversation that we have everywhere, whether it's in our church, whether it's with the husbands and wives, whether it's with our children, wherever we have conversation, you know, grandparents and seniors, and you know, even now and seniors, they are contracting this HIV also. And so we need to make sure that this conversation is continuing to be something that everyone is talking about, in particular the African-American community, because it has reached epidemic proportion to the point where it is really overtaken the African-American community. And so just like people deal with the flu during flu season, they inoculate themselves about once a year by taking flu shots and using hand sanitizer and washing their hands often, you know, it becomes second nature. We need to make sure that whatever precautions that need to be taking place to prevent this from becoming a bigger epidemic and taking over and wiping out a race of people, that we need to make these type of conversations more regular. And as far as people talking about it, people doing something about it, people taking precautions, not being as promiscuous, and you know, let people know, hey, if we don't do something about it, it's going to wipe us out. And you know, just go to the fact that you know we talk about slavery and talk about how, you know, we were abused and misused by people that went into Africa and pulled Africans off of their homeland and motherland and brought them to the shores of the North American continent and began to put them in slavery and treated them so bad, and many lost their lives, and you know, that was at the hand of someone else. And now here we are at the hand of our own hand, wiping each other out. And so, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. That, you know, if we get left to our own devices, that we'll wipe each other out. We'll hurt each other, and you know, we don't see each other as positive resources to each other to help, you know, us stay alive by preventing us from contracting diseases that will take us out. And so we really have to look at it as a race of people to say, hey, why are we doing this to ourselves? Why are we continuing to participate in the behavior that is doing this to ourselves? We can do better than that. We can make inroads into doing better things than what we're doing to make better choices, so much so that we would just get to a point where we're not able to fight this thing off without the help of each other, and we need to fight with each other. We need to fight this epidemic with each other. We need to you know, talk about it. We need to explain it to our kids. We need to explain it to members. We need to explain it to our coworkers. We need to explain it. We need to educate people over and over again until they get tired of it. was almost to the point, it was just like, you know, with the, enforcing the seatbelt law, you know. People didn't wear seatbelts, but, you know, got to a point where, say, if you get in an accident, percentage of surviving goes up so much greater when you have your seatbelt on. And so, you know, if you want to talk about it in that manner, you know, you really got to protect yourself. You really got to, every time you think about any situation that you're in, you know, whether it's sexual contact, whether it's, you know, organ donating, whether it's in your occupational environment, you know, whatever the thing that you come across with, you have to really be aware of. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to be aware and stay aware and to keep it on the front burner and not the back burner. We're going to try to see if we can get a caller on the line to help us to try to probe some of these questions to how we are dealing with this as an African-American community and how we're going to combat and overcome this epidemic.
God bless you. I'm not available to take your call at the moment. If you would leave.
Doesn't look like we got anybody on the line right there, but we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep trying to get some folk. And again, the number that you can reach us at is 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And we're talking about HIV AIDS in the African American community and how this is a epidemic in the community. And because it's an epidemic in the community, that we need to see ourselves as a resource that we can come together as a community and combat this terrible virus, this terrible disease. And it's going to take everyone in the community to do it. Like I said, from coworkers to church members, pastors, deacons, members, neighbors, everyone. That it's like, you know, it's a big issue out here that we need to keep on radar. It's not on radar. People say, well, we talk about it. Well, we have, you know, these walks and we have these fundraisers and all these things, but yet the statistic says it's not sinking in. So that's the question we want to ask, you know, for our second hour, you know, why isn't, you know, when we do have the resource to get the statistics, why isn't it sinking in? Why isn't it getting into our heads? You know, I know we can be some hard-headed folk. Everybody can be hard-headed. But why isn't, you know, the statistics, the resources that we have that are statistics, why isn't it sinking in that it's saying, yeah, yes, this could happen to me. Yes, this can happen to you, and yes, because it's out there, this is what I need to do to prevent it from happening to me or prevent it from happening to you. And so that's the type of thing that we need to talk about. I mean, we talk about everything else, you know, how good we can dance, you know, on the front of this magazine, you know, it talks about how Janet Jackson's dealing with her weight and how the secret to her sexiness, you know, but at some point Janet Jackson needs to, you know, talk about that, you know, with her sexiness, that she needs to tell people how, you know, important it is to protect themselves, you know, and that's with anybody, not just Janet Jackson, but that's with anybody. So, you know, a lot of celebrities are doing a lot of things to you know, get the message out, but, you know, it just can't be the celebrities. It's got to be the people that really on the day-to-day, boots on the ground, you know, neighbors, it's us that need to make sure that we're telling people about this. And, you know, we got to say, why isn't it sinking in? And so, you know, in this magazine article, I'm just going to read a little bit more of this. This is dated, it's Jet Magazine, dated July 9th, 2012. And it talks about the anti-HIV pill delayed. And I'm just going to read some of it. It says, originally scheduled to make a final decision on June 15th, the Food and Drug Administration recently pushed back by 3 months the ruling on approving Truvada as the first drug to prevent HIV. The delay comes on the heels of a firestorm of controversy over whether patients actually adhere to the strict one-pill-a-day regimen. It will be marked to high risk, marketed to high-risk individuals such as gay and bisexual men, who account for nearly two-thirds of all HIV cases, and partners of those infected with HIV. It says skeptics worry that the pre-exposure to the prophylaxis may encourage risky behavior and lead to reduced condom use. But for some, the medicine provides a glimmer of hope to a less inhibited sex life. It says Truvada lessens the with his HIV negative partner who takes the drug. So now if an HIV negative guy wants to engage in unprotected sex with me, he has the opportunity to remain negative if he takes this pill. And so I'm just asking, is this going to cause people to be more promiscuous, to be more uninhibited, to have sex with men and whoever they feel like it, because they can take a pill now? And the studies have shown that this pill, Truvada, can reduce the risk of infection by as much as 63%. But that leaves there's another 37% chance that you can contract it. And so, you know, what we were saying earlier is that, yeah, 63% you won't get it, but there's a 37% chance that you will get it. And so is that a resource that we really want to use? Is it a resource we really want to use? Is that percentage something that's going to make risky behavior more prevalent, or is it going to cause the instances of disease to go down? And so you have to look at it in those two ways. And then we also said in the article, it says that, you know, approximately 1.2 million Americans are affected with HIV. However, half of them are Black folks. So, you know, it's something to see this in this magazine. And to say, hey, it's out here, but I'll wait for this and say, okay, you know, I'm going to have more unprotected sex because this pill might have help me, or am I going to look at this and say, you know, this pill isn't good enough, and you know, I'm going to curtail the number of people that I'm having sexual relationships with, and when you look at it, it's almost like when people, and this what we talk about when we talk about in our premarital counseling, is that every person that you have ever had a sexual relationship with, that you possibly could be affected from someone who had a sexual relationship with two or three people prior to you. So if that person that you are now having a sexual relationship had sex with someone who had 10 other people, you know, then you're exposed to those 10 other people. I hope we're understanding that you're exposed to those 10 other people. So that person that had a sexual relationship with those 10 other people might have had a relationship with someone who had HIV. And so now, you know, 10, 12 people out, now it's affecting you. And we really need to put on radar. We really need to, you know, put on the bumper sticker, to put on, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, the whatever social networking that we're doing, is that, you know, you might be with that person now, but the person that person was with might have had 20, you know, instances of unprotected sex with people that were bisexual, the people who used drugs, or, you know, intravenous drug use, or any of those things. And now here you are, you know, unsuspecting, not knowing that person's a sexual relationship with someone else, you know, was something that someone else who had 20 sexual partners, and now you're exposed to that. And so those are the things that we try to bring out in our premarital counseling as a pastor, and just let people know you really need to think about these things when you go into relationships with someone, of considering what their past were and who they were with and who those people were with. And are we getting tested? And are we being serious about, you know, making sure that we are doing things to protect ourselves and stop the spread, you know, of this HIV virus that eventually can turn into AIDS. And we know that one of the biggest celebrities that we know that's currently living with AIDS is Irvin Magic Johnson, who was a great Hall of Fame basketball player. When he contracted AIDS, while he was a professional basketball player, when people really didn't understand it, and he's helped champion the message of make sure that you have safe sex, protected sex, and making sure that people understand what it's all about. And even now, it seems as if people don't even have that on the radar. Now they look at Magic, and you know, they know it's there. They're aware of it, but it's not a big deal. And I'm just saying tonight that we need to continue to make it a big deal. We need to continue to make it a big deal. And the number one reason why we need to make it a big deal is because it hasn't gone away and it hasn't declined, and it has really become an epidemic in our community. And so we can't let it go away. As unpopular as it is in the Black American community, as unpopular it is to talk about it, to tell people about it, to tell people they need to get tested, to tell people they need to tell other people, to tell people that if you're having sex, you're going to have sex, you need to, you know, make sure you're doing it in the way where you put yourself as least exposure as you can, and let our young people know that all the ways that you can contract it through oral sex, through anal sex, through heterosexual sex, bisexual, you can get it through, you know, occupational hazards, through punctures, through intravenous drug use. You know, we just got to put it out there and say, hey, you know, this is something that you need to be aware of. It's flu. It'll take you down, and it eventually will kill you. And so we just have to keep that message out there. And so, you know, as a pastor, you know, I don't pull any punches with our congregation. You know, I give it to them raw. They can cook it up the way they want to cook it up. But, you know, I'm going to tell them the truth, as unpopular it is, as it is. A message, you know, it's a message that's needed. You know, you often go through premarital counseling, people get turned off when, you know, the person they love with, and they're falling over and they're holding hands and they're, you know, just head over heels with, you know, this is the person that I'm love and I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And I'm telling you need to check that person out. You know, they can handle consumer credit background checks and, you know, all types of prison checks and criminal background checks. But when it comes to getting the HIV AIDS background check, you know, people are really hesitant in that community. It's almost taboo. Like, we don't want to touch that. We don't want to talk about it. But, you know, this is something we have to talk about. This is something we really have to get on board with, because, you know, without it, it's become a killer. It's become an epidemic. It's become something that's wiping us out. And we want to pretend like it's not there. And we have to stop pretending like it's not there, because it's here. It's running rampant. Again, young males, 30 and under, they're the most new group of people that are contracting. You know, these are the virile women, childbearing age. You know, they're the ones that are the ones that are contracting it more and more. Dealing with a lot of the brothers that are on the DL that, you know, are having sex with men and women, contracting it that way, and then passing it on to females. It's something that you know, it's got to stand out. You know, and like I said, for a while, you know, when Magic Johnson was diagnosed, it was something where it was out there. But, you know, here, you know, 20 years later, you know, it's kind of died down. So we got to keep it pumped back up. We got to keep talking about it. We got to keep letting people know that, you know, this thing is stalking us. It's stalking us. It's wearing us out. You know, we were worried about so many things, about our civil rights, worried about, you know, slavery, worried about, you know, equal rights. And those things were vital to our lives. And we fought for them, and we stood up, and we battled, and we're still standing up and fighting for it today. You know, getting over racism, getting over the the unfair treatment that have been imposed upon us by others. But at this particular, in the history of our race, and you know, in this country, we need to stand up for ourselves, and we need to stop treating ourselves like that. We're infecting ourselves. Let me pause that for a second. We're infecting ourselves, and through the infecting of ourselves, we are killing ourselves. Let me say that again. We're infecting ourselves. We're killing ourselves. I hope someone's listening to me out there. We're infecting ourselves. We are killing ourselves. Nobody else is doing it to us. You know, we can blame, you know, how it first entered into, you know, our community, but we're the ones that are spreading it. We're the ones that are making it so prominent. We're the ones that are continuing to allow our young people, the people that are supposed to come behind us and grow and mature and carry on the legacy of so many great people, great African Americans that have come before us. But we're not telling them stop infecting each other and stop killing each other. We're not telling that. And you really have to speak in those terms. You really have to speak in those terms. And you have to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat this thing. I'm not going to put it aside. I'm going to keep it right up in your face. So every time you think about having any type of behavior where you can, or any type of contact where you can come in contact with bodily fluids, that you would immediately go to your mind of, am I protecting myself? Am I myself in the best situation? And then, you know, we'll probably deal with this Sunday, dealing with people that already have contracted it. You know, they still have viable lives. They still are an important part of our community. And how do you live with it? And how do you talk to people? You know, this drug that Jet Magazine has, you know, is this a viable resource for people that already have it, and dealing with someone that doesn't have it, you know, where do we fall on that, you know, and then just to make sure that, you know, people that do have it, that you know, you're treating them fairly, and you're making sure that you know, the best treatment for them is available, and that it's affordable, and they can get to it, and how, you know, we live with that on a daily basis. And so, you know, there's a whole lot to this thing. You have to deal with prevention. You have to deal with cures. You have to deal with maintaining, you know. You have to deal with all of these things. So it's something that, you know, we really need to talk about more than just, you know, every now and then. But we need to talk about it often. We need to talk about it frequently. We need to talk about it in depth. You know, of all the positions that you might know somebody, or you might have, or you might be working with someone, or you might have someone in your family, and you know, you gotta be able to live and deal with it, and to make it prevalent as it is, you know, in your community. So we have to, as prevalent as it is in our community, we have to deal with it that way, and let people know that you know, we're in this thing together. We're working for everyone to get healthy. You know, that's what we're doing here at Pastors Aid CDC. We're trying to connect people with resources for the wellness of our community. And so tonight's conversation is trying to connect people with the thought, or the wake up call, or whatever you want to call it, a resource about HIV/AIDS. And you know, we want to be a resource to be a bellwether, to be a clarion call, to let people know, hey, this is affecting, you know, the African American community. This is what is affecting the wellness of our community. This is what, you know, is the number one thing that's an epidemic in our community that we're not talking about, and we're not talking enough about. But we need to talk more about it. We need to get more people involved. We need to get more statistics in people's hands. We need to get with more physicians and let people that have it know how to deal with it. And more and more people need to get active with it. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. Again, you can reach us at 347-324-5569. Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you. Thank you.
somebody. Have a little somebody.
blogtalkradio.com/PastorZaid, and you can reach us here in the studio. If you have a question or a comment, you can reach us at 347-324-5569, and you also can catch us on Twitter at PACDC316, and also on Facebook you can catch us at Pastors Aid, and we're talking about touchy subject in the African American community, talking about HIV/AIDS and the prominence of it as an epidemic in our community, and how we need to go about addressing it, how we need to go about keeping it as a conversation in our community, that not letting it die and not sweeping it under the rug or keeping it on the DL, and how that as 14% of the United States population, we make up 14%. We make up over half of, or almost half of, the cases of HIV. And so, you know, this is something that you know really needs to take root. And you know, the statistic says that 1 out of 5 people don't even know that they have it. And so, you know, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a National HIV Testing Day, which they have on June 27th, and they recommend everyone from ages 13 to 64 be tested, you know, for HIV at least once, and so you can know what your status is. You can know what your status is, and you know it's something that really, you know, gets to the point where you say, well, you want to find out, and then sometimes people don't want to find out, and so you really have to just say, hey, you know, I'm gonna find out for the benefit of my wife, I'm gonna benefit for my husband. You know, that's what my wife and I did. We found out for the benefit of each other, and we got tested, and we remain, you know, monogamous to each other, and so, you know, that finding out that you know we weren't positive, that was, you know, something that was a relief in the relationship, to know that, hey, you know, my husband and my wife got tested and they're not positive, and that, you know, we can have that assurance with each other that, you know, we'll make sure we do whatever we can to remain in that type of relationship and remain healthy without the virus. And so, you know, you just have to talk to your partner, your husband, your wife, and say, hey, you know, I love you and you love me, and you know, getting tested is a thing that we show our love and share our love. And I think too many times in the African-American community, sometimes people get it twisted and they get to the point where they say, hey, you know, if you love me, you wouldn't ask me to do this, you know. But that's just insane. That's insanity to think someone says that if you love me, that you wouldn't have me to get tested. No, it should be the other way around. If you love me, you'll do whatever you can to show me that you're healthy, and that I'll show you that I'm healthy. And you know, it encourages relationships and makes relationships stronger. And you really, really have to know that, you know, in order to really trust someone, you have to be willing to devout and to show them that you love them. So that's things that Pastors ACDC is going to be sponsoring some testing sites, some testing areas where we can, our audience know and people in our community know that, you know, there's ways and places that you can get tested, and we want to promote those things where, you know, particularly in the African American community, that you need to get tested. You need to become aware and start teaching and training people how to live with HIV and how to do things that are necessary to prevent the beginning of HIV. And so, you know, we're going to keep this as a hot topic on our program, our broadcast. You know, we want to always let people know, hey, you know, don't ignore that 800-pound, or as Rev B says, that 2 800-pound gorillas in the room. You know, you got to deal with it. At some point, you got to address it. At some point, you have to take responsibility. At some point, you have to get to the point where you're saying, all right, I need to, you know, take care of this. If I'm considering getting married, if I'm considering having children, if I'm considering getting a relationship, that I need to do this. And again, you can find information. We quoted some of the information from the AIDS website, AID.gov. And also, you can go to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on that website, and you can get some good information. And you know, once you and that's what Pastors ACDC is about. We want to get people connected with the resources that for wellness. You know, when you are connected with the resources for wellness, that creates a wellness in your community, and your community strives. And so we just can't talk about, you know, the itchy feeling things that, you know, we like to gossip about and talk about, but, you know, we had to really address this thing, because this thing is killing people. And so, you know, that's why we have to address it. That's why we have to talk about it. That's why we have to get people, other people, to address it and talk about it, because this is a devastating thing. And so any type of resource that will give you information and knowledge concerning this is what we're trying to promote, what we're trying to get out to people. Just let them know, hey, get informed, get educated, get protected, get into a situation where you're making the best decisions for your life. Pause right there. You're making the best decision for your life and the wellness of your life and the wellness of your community. And it's up to you. It's up to me to talk about these things and to keep them on the radar. So we're just glad that we have this venue, this a forum to be able to talk about these things, to be able to get information out to people and begin to start setting up places where people can go and get help, and people can get tested, and people can find out. And wanted to start, you know, spreading that more and more. Just try to start working with churches on a regular basis, that they would have times during the year where they would let their people know to hey, this is the day we're going to get tested. This is the day, or this is the place you can go get tested. This is the place where you can go get help, and you know, let people know that you know they're not in this by themselves, and that the help is available, and that people are concerned, and people are trying to help people to continue to experience wellness, and you know, just pour out this message that, you know, we can overcome these things. There have been many epidemics and plagues that have taken to people all over the world, and people have overcome. People have been able to get through, and, you know, I believe that with the help of God, we can overcome and we can get through this epidemic also. But, you know, we're just going to have to fight to our last breath. We're just going to have to promote to our last breath. We're just going to have to form and teach and educate to our last breath. And that spirit of doing that will have to continue to permeate our community. And people have to stop being ashamed or embarrassed or too proud to talk about it. We have to continue to talk about it. We have to continue to tell people, you know, that this is something that we can't put aside, can't put on the back burner, we can't sweep it on the rug, we can't keep it on the down low, because it is deadly and it is killing and it is wiping people out and it's affecting so many people's lives negatively. Where their quality of life and their ability to live the way God intended them to live is dwindling and passing away. And, you know, as people, African American people, we're not trying to condemn anybody. We're not trying to judge anybody. We're trying to help everybody. We're trying to help people, whatever situation you're in, to live a life of wellness and wholeness. That's what we want. We don't want to judge. We don't want to condemn. But we want to get people informed of what's happening. What's happening to them physically. What's happening to them in their lives because of this virus, this HIV virus that turns to AIDS, that opens people up for opportunity. They call them opportunity infections when your immune system is impaired or weakened. Other diseases are able to take hold, and viruses or other viruses or infections are able to take hold. And so, you know, this is what we're trying to get out. Again, we're not judging anybody. We're not condemning anybody. We're telling people, you know, you need to get the resources to get the facts so you can protect yourself, so that you can, you know, prevent this thing from taking you on and taking you down and taking your loved ones and taking your families down. There's nothing more worse than a mother to have HIV and then to find that through the amniotic fluid or fluids that were coming in contact with, or breast milk they come in contact with as the child was being born or the child was being fed, that their child has contracted HIV by from the mother. You got to live with that whole thing with the mother and with the child, and it's just devastating. And so those are the things we're trying to help prevent people from having to go through education, through testing, through prevention, through lifestyle changes, and through making changes in your life about, you know, how I'm going to handle myself when it comes to dealing with bodily fluids, which is the way that this disease is passed from human to human. And so, again, if you want to chime in, you can reach us at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. And we're probably going to continue this on Sunday's broadcast, get a little more participation, a little more people involved. Just trying to get the African-American community to step up and speak up and be heard and let people know, you know, what's going on. We've been too silent on this too long. We've been too silent on this too long. We've been on the DL. It's something we don't talk about, something we don't really want to talk about. But believe me, if almost half the cases of HIV are in the African American community, we need to talk about this thing. We need to talk about it. We need to talk about it loud and often. And you know, it's something where we need to put all the pride and everything else on the shelf. We need to just let it be real. We need to be real about it and say, hey, if I'm going out with someone new, there's a 50% chance of that person having HIV. slow that down again. Since almost half of the people that are getting it are contracting it as an African American community, if you're an African American person, the next person that you decide to have bodily fluid exchanges with, can I say it like that? you count one, two, one of those persons has a chance of being infected with HIV. Can I put it like that? And so you have a person on your left and a person on your right. You have a 50-50 chance that that person, a new case of HIV, that person would have the opportunity to have a new case of HIV. And start thinking of it that way. Start thinking of it that way. And start thinking of it as, you know, before I even try to get involved with this person or try to get to a point where I'm thinking about getting to this, with this person, where I'm possibly exchanging bodily fluids with this person, that we need to talk about this. And so on first dates or not on first dates and first conversation, phone conversations, you know, this needs to be talked about. This needs to be, you know, researched. This needs to have statistics, you know, when we start, you know, looking at someone and thinking of that person as, hey, I'm interested in that person. The first thing we need to start talking, one of the first things we need to start talking about, we need to start talking about, hey, you know, what do you do when you get to the point where in a relationship where you're at the point where you want to start exchanging bodily fluids? You know, what do you talk about? Do you talk about the statistics of people that do that? In particular, the African American community, and I know this is an odd thing, and people don't want to do that, and you know it might turn people off, someone you like, but this is your life that's on the line. This is your life that's on the line. This is your life, you know. And so before you get too involved, and your feelings get involved, and your boogum snuggums, and your love, and your boo, and all those things that we love to do, Lord have mercy. There's nothing wrong with being in love, and there's nothing wrong with having a boo or a boogum snuggums and all those things. That's how, you know, we were made, and you know, we're affectionate people, we love each other, and there's nothing wrong with having sexual relationships. But there's a reality check in particularly the African American community that, you know, there needs to be a check on what we're doing. There needs to be a check on how we're handling sex. There needs to be a check on how we're handling bodily fluids to know that there's something out there that when we're with our boo or our boogum snuggums or our loved one that can be dangerous. You know, check that out. Sex, which is a wonderful thing, can be dangerous. I'm gonna slow down there right there. It can be dangerous. In the African-American community, it can kill you. It can kill you. I'm going to say that one more time. It can kill you. It can lead to an infection that can kill you. And so, you know, particularly young people, you know, I try to talk to our teenagers, and, you know, they turn a certain age, and that puberty hits them, and, you know, things start popping out on them, and things start rounding out, and voices change, and, you know, sexual organs get developed, and, you know, they get to the point where, you know, it starts working. You know, once it starts working, they want to use it. But, you know, we have the caution that, you know, just because it starts working doesn't mean you can use it anytime and everywhere you want to. You know, and that's hard to tell young people and teenagers and young adults and even older people. But, you know, you gotta give them a wake-up call. You got to say, hey, that might be, you know, your first and last time. You know, it might be the time that's going to, you know, affect you for the rest of your life, you know. And that's the way we have to talk to people like that. You know, you just have to say, hey, you know, there's a risk involved here. You know, it's not just. Hey, you know, there is a chance, you know. And not only just in the African American community, we're talking about particularly African American community tonight, but you know, even in other races, this can happen. And so that's the conversation we have to have. That's the conversation that we really need to have more often, and we're just going to continue to do it. I know it's not popular. I know people are hesitant to talk about it. You know, we really, you know, have to get over that thing. We really have to get over that unpopular and don't want to talk about it. Because the more you talk about it, the more you get people involved, the better chance you have of coming up with cures and coming up with better ways to avoid contracting the disease. And you know, it's amazing how much when the majority of people get together, how they can come and they can fight and they can really get on top of this disease. And you know, it's you know, when it affects Caucasian people, you know, they can get on top of it when they get together, and you know, they'll fight for it. You know, when cancer or other things, they, you know, the money and the time and the research, they get on top of it and they combat it. But it seems like in the African American community, we're not as aggressive, we're not as thorough in sustaining our race and sustaining our health and our wellness. And we got to do better than that. You know, we really have to do better than that. So, you know, this is just the first conversation, you know, the first 2 hours talking about this. And so we're throwing a lot of questions out there to you, and you know, in later shows, you know, we're gonna be asking and answering some questions and just keeping this topic live. You know, we'll continue with our shows and, you know, things like that. But you know, in all of our shows, we just want to make sure that, you know, we're keeping this one topic alive, because we want to keep people alive. We want to keep people well. We want to keep people doing well in their communities, and you know, whatever we can do to help people get contacted, connected to things that will help that's what we're going to do. And so, you know, you're going to hear from me. You're probably going to get tired of us talking about it, but again, we want to get to the point where it becomes second nature, just like putting on your seatbelt, you know, just like, you know, washing your hands during flu season or getting the proper rest or eating the proper things. We want this to be one of those things that you're connected with and that you're on board with, and that you're not only looking out for yourself, but you're looking out also for your fellow man or your fellow partner. You're looking out for them, and that's the way it has to be. And you know, you have to do it each time, every time. It's like this pill that the Jet is talking about, this Truvada. You got to do it every day. You know, you got to be diligent in it. And then you're still only going to get 63%. And so, you know, you really have to be diligent in protecting yourself. I know it's a drag, you know. I know it's, you know, people don't want to be involved with that. If you're in love and you got your boogum snuggums and your boo and your baby boy and your baby girl, you know, you get to the point where you don't want to be bothered with that. You want to be bothered with using condoms and things that, you know, they call safe sex, and you know, you don't want to be bothered with that. You just want to be in the moment, and you just want to enjoy the moment, and you don't want to, you know, go through that. And if you love me, you wouldn't worry about that. But those days are gone. And again, those days are gone. You have to think about that. You have to say, you know, if we're going to be in this relationship, we're going to do something, you know, we have to think about this on a regular basis. And, you know, you can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop saying, okay, we're going to do it for this period of time, and then on this period of time, we're not going to do it. That's how the disease spreads. That's how the infection spreads. When we let our guards down, when we stop doing the things that are necessary to make sure we're safe, that's how it spreads. And it only takes one time. It only takes a little bit of bodily fluids. It only takes that one time. And then people get infected, and then, you know, that one time with someone else, and then that's how it spreads. And so that's the conversation that we're putting out here, that it only takes that one time. And so you have to be vigilant in every time, ladies, every time, men, every time, you know, you have to be vigilant every time you get to the point where you're going to change bodily fluids. Every time you got to think about it, and it's a drag, but you know, it'd rather be a drag and you're going to come out living and well than it to be ignored, and you come out with your immune system compromised and deficient, and you're going downhill physically, and your wellness is slowly deteriorating. And so, again, we want to just let the African American know that you know, of the 1.2 Americans affected with HIV, half of them are Black. I can't say that enough. That is sobering. You only make up 14% of the population, but of the 1.2 American that have HIV, half of them are Black. Somebody needs to call in. We're going to talk about this. 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're going to take another break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. ACDC. Again, we thank everyone for tuning in, and thank everyone for participating and sharing with us while we're on the radio. And again, you can always hit us at Twitter at PACDC316. Also hit us at Facebook at Pastor's Aid. And as always, you can get us on the internet. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/ Pastor's Aid. And as always, you can get the archive version of our show, 20-30 minutes after the show goes off. So at about 9:29:30, you can get the archive broadcast on demand. And we thank everyone that's been going to the archives of late. Our numbers have been off the chart. We just thank God for everyone that's getting involved and all the feedback. It's nothing but love. We're just grateful for all of our listeners and supporters touching base with us on Twitter and Facebook, and it's just been amazing since we've been on the air, and we just want to thank everyone for their support. Truly, it's been a blessing, and we're just grateful, and we're just trying to get people together with resources that can help them, to help their wellness, help the wellness in their community. And so tonight we've been talking about the epidemic, or the prevalence of HIV/AIDS in the Black community, and how that of the half the people that are in the United States of America that have HIV, that half of them are Black, and how that we need to make this a clarion call, and how we need to make sure that we're letting everyone know in our community, particularly, that you know this is devastating to us, and that we need to not let it go to sleep and not get to the point where we're not talking about it, but we need to make this a ongoing conversation so that we can combat this thing, that we can come up with a cure, that we can get together and help prevent until the cure is here. And we have to stick together and fight this thing together. And we're just encouraged that, you know, if all of us get together and stick together with this thing, we can make a breakthrough. And it's going to take all of us doing it. So don't be ashamed. Don't be discouraged. But be encouraged. Be informed. Be educated. Be proactive in finding ways to make sure that you're playing your role in combating this epidemic that so many of the African American community. Trying to get some folk on the line here, see they can help participate in this conversation, because it's a conversation that you know, if you let it go down, you know, it's going to be too late, and we don't want anything to be too late. We want to tell people there's still hope. There's still people that are concerned. There's still people that are trying to help come up with cures and ways to overcome this disease. And you know, it's tough. It's tough. It's just like the prevalence of diabetes in the African American community, the prevalence of poverty. All those things, illiteracy, those things that continue to haunt and plague us. You know, this is just another one, but it's a big one of the things that we have to overcome. And so we have to stick with it. We have to stay on it. We have to really know that it's a fight. It's a fight to the death. And we have to remain in the fight. We have to remain in the battle. And we have to remain vigilant, helping each other and pulling and carrying each other to the place where we can experience the most wellness in our community. And it's up to us. I said it earlier, it's up to us what we're going to do. And others who are skeptical of our race, who are skeptical of our education, who are skeptical of our commitment, you know, that should be a motivating thing to us to say, hey, you know, people are looking at us, sitting back, looking and wanting us to fail each other off, you know, wanting us to be the most small minority, but have the most prevalent cases of people going to jail and men going to jail and men and women not getting education and men and women in our community that keep contracting this disease. You know, that should be our motivating factor to say, hey, you know, we are better than this. You know, we're stronger than this. We're going to beat this, and we're going to show you by our actions how we've overcome and how we've overcome the brutality of slavery, the brutality of inequality, the brutality of segregation. And how we as a people have overcome, and we can overcome this, and we can beat this, and together we can put this epidemic to rest. But we got to get to the mindset of, hey, you know, this is trying to kill us, and our back's up against the wall, and whenever our backs are against the wall, and whenever we're suffering unjustly, injustice, you know, we come out and we fight, we band together, and we overcome. And so this is something that we have to really fight with, something we have to band together with, something we have to overcome, something we have to talk about plainly, and something we have to really keep up front, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your relationship, whether it's in your on your job, you know, with your neighbor. You know, this thing has to come. To know that, you know, we're going to fight it to the end. And you know, when we're in that position, you know, the numbers that are being affected by it, those are the ones that should be up front, excuse me, should be up front leading the charge, leading the cry, because nobody's thing in our community. There's no other race that's going to look after our race like we should. And you know that's just the fact. Not to say that anyone's racist or discriminatory against anybody, but that's just the fact that we got to look out for ourselves. We got to take care of ourselves because this is killing us. It's prevalent in other communities, but this is overly prevalent in our community, and it's killing us. And so we have to take on that mantle. We have to be willing to go to the mat, to go to the fight, to go to the front line, to be the spear of the head of the spear. We have to be willing to get involved and just continue to let our community know, don't give up, don't give in. Don't let it drop. Keep fighting. You can win and you can make it. And that's the message that we have to keep getting out. That's the message that we have to keep telling people, that it's bad, but it's nothing that with the help of God, we and each other, we can't overcome. And encourage people. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that you're there for them. And in instances where you're getting together for the first time, just be plain, talk plain, talk serious, talk life. If we're not talking plain, we're not serious, and we're not talking, then we're talking death. We're not talking anything but something that leads to death. And we have to talk about things that lead to life and how we want to experience wellness, excuse me, in our community. And so again, we're going to definitely get to the point where we'll be talking about this often on our upcoming shows, and getting people information on where they can go and get tested, and the different tests, and the places where you can go, where you can get treatment, and find support systems. And so this is just the beginning of the battle, and we're anticipating a long, hard-fought battle. But we as a people, we fought long, hard battles before, and we've overcome. And so that's what we have to look at. This is just another thing that we have to overcome. It's another thing that we have to stick together and exercise our rights and exercise our civil responsibility, our civil duty, to come together and look out for each other, particularly our young people, particularly our seniors. It's prevalent in those communities as well, the seniors and the young people. We have to just get out there and band together and say, hey, we're not going down like that. We're not going out like that. We're gonna remain strong and vigilant, and we're gonna overcome this thing. So we want you to be encouraged. As always, we want you to go back to the archives, listen to what we've been talking about, get excited about it, call in, and let us know what your feelings are, what your thoughts are, what you're doing in the area to help the situation, what type of resources you have come across and that you're using and that you would recommend. So you can reach us at, on Twitter at PACDC316, or you can reach us at Facebook, and that is Pastor's Aid. And you can also call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569, and get in a part of the conversation. We're going to continue this conversation on Sunday. We're going to continue to just let people know that these are the type of things that Pastor's Aid CDC is going to get involved with, and it's something that we're not going to let fall, not going to let go by the wayside. We're also having our May free day. I'm sorry, not May free day, but our free day coming up. This will be the third Saturday in this month, and we're going to be giving away clothing and reaching out to the community, letting them know that that people in the community care, and we're concerned about what's going on in their lives. And so that's going to be the third excuse me, That's going to be the third Saturday of this month. And we're going to be at Heart of God Baptist Church. We're going to be at 7100 Chesapeake Road in Land O'Neill, Maryland. And we're going to be there from approximately 11 to 3, probably be a little bit longer this time. We're going to be also doing a Fish Friday day. And so that's going to be on the 21st of July. And that's going to be another free day where we're giving away clothing and items. We're going to be on the parking lot at Heart of God Baptist Church, and we're going to be blessing the community. We'll also probably have some live music. Rev B and his brothers, my brother's keeper, will probably be in the parking lot playing some music and just getting involved with the community and letting everyone know how they can participate in blessing someone else. And so we're excited about that coming up on the 21st of this month. We'll be out in the community working free day, giving away clothing and things of that like, and also having a fish fry, getting some folk together that are going to enjoy the friends and family and the fellowship and the food. And so we're looking forward to that next week. The following week we'll be in Vacation Bible School. From the 23rd to the 27th, and all are welcome to come out. That's 7100 Chesapeake Road in Landover Hills, Maryland, and we're in Suite 205 and 206. There'll be 7 o'clock nightly all along. So we're excited about it. A lot of things going on in the community, and we're want to get folks connected, want to get people involved, making sure that, you know, when you get involved, it's not just a selfish thing, but you're looking out for someone else. And that's what makes our communities better, when we all look out for each other. That's when we begin to start experiencing wellness in our community, when we start looking out for each other. And so it's been a good topic tonight. I'm sure it's going to get hotter as we get more people involved. But these were just some of the things that, you know, we were putting out there. And giving some statistics, giving some attitudes that people might have in the African American community concerning HIV/AIDS, and we're going to get some nurses and try to get some physicians on to talk to us more in depth, more people have the expertise on these type of things, and just to keep peppering the shows, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, to the point where people begin to start talking more about this prevalence of this epidemic in the African American community. It's devastating. It's here. We need to talk about it. We need to deal with it. And so we're going to be getting people from all walks of life to you know, chime in and talk to us about it, so that it will be more of a force that will come together and deal with this type of epidemic. Again, epidemics have been dealt with before, and there's no why we can't make inroads with this one. I know there's many of you that are already on the battlefield, and so we're just encouraging everyone else to get involved. You don't have to make it a thing that you do every day that consumes all your time, but everyone together can make a difference. Everyone together can make a dent toward bringing this epidemic down and managing it through education, through efforts, through, you know, scientific means, through supernatural, spiritual means, you know, everywhere, every angle that we can attack this thing and fight this thing is what we have to do. Again, you know, it's not a thing of anybody judging anybody or bringing condemnation on anyone, but it's a thing of educating ourselves and doing the things that are necessary as a people to get well concerning this particular area. And so, again, we'll be on Sunday night. That's blogtalkradio.com/Pastor's Aid. And we're going to have a good topic. We're going to pick a little bit, piggyback on this also. And about 20, 30 minutes after this show, you can go to the archives. And that's at blogtalkradio.com. /Pastor's Aid, and you can scroll down to the archives on demand, and you can get all of our shows that we started. And we thank God people are going back and enjoying the shows, and I believe this week is one of the highest listening audiences that we've had as of yet. And so it keeps going up, and we just thank everyone for tuning in. We thank everyone for your support and your positive comments, positive feedback. And people are telling us that they're experiencing wellness in their community. They're getting connected. And, you know, that has always been the vision. Again, miss my partner in crime, or co-host, Rev B tonight, but he's out teaching in ministry. And we always thank him. Thank his very fine pastor, Dr. Gregory, the New Birth Baptist Church. They always continue to encourage us. And we just, for all our family and friends, that just keep encouraging us to continue to carry out this vision of being a place, a resource where people can get well, experience wellness, experience wholeness, experience just getting better. And that's what we want to continue to do. So, again, just a big shout out to all of our supporters. Continue to give us that support. Know that we wouldn't be here without you. And so we just say thank you again. Tonight's subject's very, very hot topic. We're going to get some more people in on this, and I'm sure it's going to make a difference in our community. I'm sure it's going to make a difference in the lives of so many people. So that's why we're encouraged, because, you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about making a difference in people's lives, and some kind of way getting them to be able to experience a life a little bit better. And if you can make someone's life a little bit better, then all of your ministry, all of your labor is not in vain, and it's worth it. And so that's what we're here doing. And as always, we appreciate you. We continue to stay on it. We're going to continue to bring you valuable resources. We're going to continue to bring you valuable conversation and topics. And we're just getting started, So, you know, hang in there. Keep checking the archives out. Keep telling people about it. Keep it on your front burner. And we're going to keep this HIV AIDS on the front burner until, you know, those numbers of being half of the people that are affected begin to start dwindling. The numbers of new infections will start dwindling. The numbers of people that haven't been tested will start dwindling. And we're going to make a big push. You know, so everywhere we're going, we're telling people to get tested. We're telling people to participate in activities that will protect themselves and prevent them from having greater occurrences of new infections. And you know, that's what it's all about. You know, we're gonna beat this thing. We're gonna be victorious. And so we just want you all to get on board. We want you all to get involved. Please, ma'am. Please, sir. You know, your prayers, your participation, your effort in this great fight against this epidemic of HIV/AIDS is greatly needed. And nobody can sit on the sidelines. Excuse me. Again, nobody can sit on the side. You can't sit on the sideline. We have to stay in this thing and stay in it together long and hard. You know, as the prevalence start going down, we can't let our guards down. As the new drugs and possibly cures come, we can't let our drugs down, let our guards down. Because that's when things will try to resurface. And so stay with it. Hang in there. Make sure that you're doing everything possible that you can do to let somebody else know about, you know, the battle against the epidemic that has really taken over and taken on the African American community. And so we're going to end the show tonight, and we just thank you for listening in. And as always, now that you have the resource, we need you to get connected. God bless you, and we look forward to spending time with you on this Sunday, coming Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. We'll be back in the studio with Rev B and Pastor C, and we're going to continue to be the clarion call to combat this virus and disease, HIV/AIDS. Good night.